Being the blood of the Lamb. And Brother Eric taught Sunday school. And by the way, those of you listening, if you don't know, you can tune in. And I think that we've been trying to keep the Sunday school on air as well. You'll enjoy. We've just had a wonderful time with the Sunday school lessons. He's been teaching on the names of Christ and how they apply to the attributes of Christ and who he is, what he can do for us, and how marvelous it is to know that he was the Lamb of God that was slain for our sins. If you ever want to have confidence in anything, I've said this for a long time, you've got to have confidence in the Lamb, never yourself. Amen. We're going to look at some things on David this morning. And let me say this while we're thinking about this. Positionally, if you've been saved, positionally, you are perfect with God. You are in Christ Jesus. Practically, you are a sinner saved by grace. Until you have been redeemed of your sinful flesh, from your sinful flesh, you will always be in the status of a sinner saved by grace. Practically, we will continue failing at different times because God doesn't save perfect people. He saves sinners. And so therefore, we have to remember that that we are all flawed. And by the way, God uses flawed people because there is no other kind. Amen. And so just remember that. And yes, there are some things that we have to do. Let's look at the life of David. I want us to think about David just a moment. Now, David is mentioned some 1,130 some plus times in the Bible. Imagine being mentioned by God that many times. David was used greatly by God, and he was an instrument of God that influenced not only Israel, but the whole world. And even Jesus came from the lineage of David. Even Jesus is destined to sit upon the throne of David. And so God chose David. Even when Israel chose Saul, God had already chose David. He didn't choose David because of his lineage. He didn't choose David because of his outward appearance. Saul was a big guy. He was stood head above shoulders of other people and strong. And I'm sure people said, that's the guy we want leading our army. But God chose David because of his heart. Out of the issues of life, they all come from your heart. Your heart is who you are and what you are. And so we find something said about David in Acts chapter 13, if you'll turn there a moment. And then we're going to stay most of the time, with the exception of one or two verses, we're going to stay in the book of Psalms. So if you want to stick your finger in the book of Psalms and turn to Acts chapter 13, that's where we're going to be looking at today. While you're turning, let me say this, and those of you out there, I've already said it once here, those of you who are recovering, and we haven't had with us since the pandemic started, we want you to know we're missing you. We'd love to see you back in the house of God. But we also have a couple of special requests. Sister Mary Sisson asked us to remember Brother Sisson. He's gone through about 2 weeks of his radiation and chemotherapy, and his throat has been burned pretty bad, and so she asked that we would remember him in prayer, and we want to do that. And also, some of you who may know Ben Stidham and his family over in Hazard, we promised his family that we would lift him up in prayer, and we want to remember him in prayer as well today. And several prayer requests we lifted up Wednesday night. Those of you who had prayer requests Wednesday night, if you would, please jot those down. We put a new prayer list up today, and jot those down that we may remember those. And I know Doug and Karen said that they just brought Cade. We was praying about him. That's Doug's son out of the hospital this morning. Continue lifting him up in prayer as well. He needs their prayers. And so look, if you would, in Acts chapter 13, if you would. In verse number 22, it says, "And when he had removed him," talking about Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his purpose, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the life of David, what he had, the example he had before us. And yes, Lord, even though he had many successes, we also recognize he had a great failure. But Heavenly Father, it gives us encouragement to know that you use flawed people, because there is no other kind. And Heavenly Father, not only did he have a great failure with great consequences, but Lord, he had a great restoration because you forgave him his sins when he called upon the Lord. And he asked you to return to him the joy of his salvation. And Lord, that you were sitting there with open arms, as you are with any prodigal son, waiting for us to come back and cry, and Lord, welcome us back home with hugs and kisses. Heavenly Father, we pray, help us to see some things in David's life that would be applicable to our life this morning. Help us, Lord, to understand that you want a heart that's ready to worship you. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you just open our minds and our hearts. Let us see a few truths. We ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, let me say this about David. I've heard a lot of people try to explain what it means when the Bible says that David had a heart likened to God. I think there's several things, or a heart. God said that he had a heart like his and after his. And so therefore, there's many people tries to explain what that means. Now, I've looked at several things of David's life, and I've saw a picture of some things that God has in his heart. Number one, David was a fighter. Man, he could fight. The Bible described him as a mighty, valiant man, a man of war. Some people said, well, God is not a man of war. Well, in Exodus chapter 15, verse 3, the Bible says the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Psalms 24 says, the Lord thy strength, the Lord mighty in battle. God is a God of war. But David was a great warrior. He was someone, he knew who to fight. You got that? He never fought God's man. You got that? He never fought God's people. Did you get that? Too many times, and let me say this, God never raises you up to fight against the man of God and fight against God's people. God doesn't raise up people to do that. That's not your place. You let God deal with his men, and you let God deal with his people. Our job is not to fight. We need to know who to fight. David, one thing made him a great warrior, not only did he know who to fight, he knew how to fight. When he went to battle, he went with courage. He went with confidence. He went with commitment to see the job through. He had conviction. When you seen him stand up Goliath, you seen all them things as he stood there and he faced that big giant. He wasn't fearful because he knew not only who to fight, he knew how to fight. We need to learn how to fight. Our battle is not carnal with flesh and blood. Our battle is spiritual, with spiritual wickedness in high places. And so therefore what happens is we want to fight against people too many times in carnal and flesh and blood, and we got to recognize behind it all is Satan at work. And we need to understand that. And not only that, we need to know when to fight. There's a time to fight. And David had a good understanding about when to fight. Not only that, but David also had a great love. He loved. He had a heart full of love. He didn't have hatred. You know, when Saul was trying to kill him, he still respected Saul and his position. He could have killed him several times and he refused not to. When his son, Absalom, rebelled against him and was going to kill David, David still loved Absalom. And he wept when Absalom died because he had such love. God, and he was a man after God's own heart, God has love for the sinners. The name Jehovah means that God hates sin. But the name Jehovah also means that God loves sinners. And he's made a way that sinners might be saved. So we wouldn't be judged with the wrath of God. And so we see also from the fact of God, of David's love, how he had a heart. But when we look at David and his worship with God, first of all, let me say this before I get into worship, because some people look at David and they say, well, when you look and see what David did, David had many successes in his life, had great victories. If God had not loved him and God had not exalted him to position, he exalted. And so when we see in David the sad chapter whenever he committed that great sin or those great sins, we see that he failed. But you know, the Bible reveals to us several men, great men of God, failed at different times. As I said earlier, God uses flawed men because that's all he's got to work with. We're all flawed, whether you like to admit it or not. And I know some people tries to teach and tries to believe that we rise above sin when we get saved. That's not true. Positionally we do, practically we do not. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And we make God a liar, and so we need to be very careful with that. So, as I said earlier, he not only had a great failure, he had great consequences. When you see the consequences of what happened when David sinned, he paid a great price. He paid a price with his family, and his heart was torn in many ways, and he suffered in many ways. But then, as I said earlier, he also had a great restoration. To think that God could restore David. And you know the wonderful thing? Brother Junior was talking about forgiveness this morning. The wonderful thing about with David, as great of sin as he committed over there in the book of Samuel in his life, we get over to the New Testament, not a word ever brought up about it. You know why? It's underneath the blood. It's been forgiven. And when God forgives something, he says he moves it as far as the east is from the west. And I'm so glad that he says he puts it behind his back. I'm glad that we no longer have when we've asked for forgiveness. So when we look at David, let's look at him a little bit and talk about the fact that he worship and see how he worshiped God and see if we can't understand some things that we need to apply in our own life. Turn, if you would, to the book of Psalms real quickly. And while you're turning, let me just say something. If you want to worship God, there's some things that you have to do, like David. You have to love God. You have to love him. Number two, you have to honor God. You can't be disrespecting God and expect him to allow you to worship. Number three, you need to fear God. The fear of the Lord's beginning wisdom. And you need to reverence God. As Brother Eric was talking about the other day, God is reverent. I'm not the reverent. You reverence God, amen. I've had people ask me, they said, you mind we call you reverent? I said, call me Brother Billy. I said, God's the reverent one, amen. He's the one that deserves our reverence. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, you don't have to turn there, but to worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in what? Without truth, there can be no worship. Without spirit, there can be no worship. The truth we have is in the word of God. Thy word is truth. The truth sets you free. We worship God in spirit. Now you've heard me say many times, worship comes when truth stirs your spirit to uplift and honor God and praise God. In other words, some truth being preached some truth being sung. It stirs your spirit to want to give God honor and praise, and therefore you can lift worship up unto Him. You know, when I'm sitting here listening to the Sunday school this morning, and I was thinking about the Lamb of God that took away our sins, and there's something in my spirit that it just lifts up, and I want to thank God that an old sinner like myself, He commended His love toward me while I was yet a sinner. Before the foundation of the world, He already had this worked out. Now, in looking at this, let me say this. When you worship God in your spirit, you must be born again before you can worship God. You hear that? Your spirit has got to be made alive. Your spirit is a part of you that is God conscious. You hear me? Your spirit is a part that can communicate with God. And until it's made alive, you can't communicate. His spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are the child of God. His spirit helps your spirit to pray unto God. His spirit is what stirs our spirit. Our spirit is where we pray unto God, and we have the ability to pray. Until you get saved, a lot of people ain't going to like this. Until you get saved, you have no prayer life except to call upon the Lord God to save your soul through Jesus Christ. That's the only prayer life that you have. Therefore, when you get saved, your spirit's made alive. The problem with worship today, this newfound worship, is it's all feelings and emotions. It comes from the soul, not the spirit. And the soul is self-conscious. In other words, it stirs feelings and emotions instead of stirring your spirit. And we've talked about the body, soul, and spirit. We've divided that out. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that this morning. But let's look at David a few moments in his worship. First of all, to all you, let me show you this. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I know I told you Psalms, but I told you there'd be one or two verses that would be other places. I want to start here because this is where it starts with David. Notice if you would, Samuel comes to Jesse's house, David's dad, and notice verse 3. And he called Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and says, come thou. Wait a minute, I need to skip on down a little bit. Let me see, I've got the wrong verse wrote down here. Let me look real quickly. Verse number 5. And he says, peaceable I am, come sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me. That's where I was looking for, verse 5. And come with me to sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked upon Eliam and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. Now the point I want you to get out of that is this. The reason David probably worshiped God was he was taught at a young age with his family to worship God. Moms and dads, let me tell you something. Listen to me. If your children never see you worshiping God, it will be a great hindrance to them ever wanting to worship God. Your children ought to see you worship. Your children at certain times in church service ought to see you stand up at some given time and give praise to the Lord and give a testimony unto the Lord. That means you don't do it to be seen. But when God stirs your heart, it does your children well to see you stand and have a testimony. I've often said, the greatest inheritance that a parent can give to their children to leave behind at their death is a testimony. No greater comfort I had when my mom and dad died. I was able to preach both their funerals. Somebody asked me, said, why? I said, are you going to preach your funerals? I said, why not? They left a testimony. I'm not sad. I know where they went. I'll miss them, but I know in whom they believed. You know why? They gave me a testimony. I saw them worship. Many times throughout their life, I saw them worship God. And so therefore, parents, first of all, if you want to see your children rise up and worship God, you need to set an example before them. They need to see something in your life to worship God. Amen? Now, second of all, notice that from a youth up, he worshiped God. Psalms 23, many people believe that was wrote while he was out in the pastures tending the sheep. And he wrote Psalms 23. Now, David was known as a sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote about 78 of the 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms. And when you look at those things, he had great desire. Now, let's notice a couple things and turn with me in the book of Psalms to chapter 63. I want you to notice some things about David and his worship. Chapter 63, verse number 1. He says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I'm going to tell you something. If you're looking around in the world right now, you're looking around in America to feed your soul, you're going to starve. There ought to be something in you that's hungering after God. If you're going to worship God, it has to be a personal worship. You have to be able to personally worship God. You say, well, your dad can't worship for you. It's got to be personal. It's got to be your soul that's thirsty for him. It's got to be your soul that's hungry for him. It's got to be your soul that needs something that needs to be fulfilled. And so therefore, you need to have a personal worship. David personally worshiped God. He loved God. He sought God. And he looked for God. And God was fulfillment to his soul. Not only that, but notice if you would in chapter 42. In verse number 1, it says, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, when they continue saying to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Second of all, I want you to know not only do you need a personal worship with God, you need to learn to worship God privately when nobody else is around. That's what Jesus meant by entering into the closet. When no one's around, you don't have to come to church to just worship God. There ought to be times at your house when nobody's around. They don't see your hand raise up. They don't hear you praise the Lord. And there ought to be a time sometimes when you just need to praise God. When you need to worship him privately and to yourself. If you never get alone privately and let God speak to you. Some of the greatest moments I've had has been in the wee hours of the night when I've had the Bible open. And God began to speak to me. And I end up on my face, worshiping him, praising him. And it's just such things as Brother Eric was teaching this morning. He said, well, we all know the blood, and we all know about the Lamb. But when it becomes personal, and all of a sudden you're sitting there and you realize the depth of God's love, you understand how marvelous it is that God can take his son and through his shed blood and sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, he can save a wretched sinner like you. And by the way, don't kid me, look in the mirror, we're all black as we can be. And yes, we ought to have good works. I'm not saying we ought to follow Jesus. He set example for us. But we all struggle because Paul said that when he looked in his flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And thank God when our spirit's been made alive through a new birth, our spirit begins to battle with our flesh. And it's a constant battle the rest of our life until we die. But in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. And by the way, we all have the flesh. And we all have to beat down the flesh. It's a battle that we face every day. Because the devil is just looking at taking and having victory by our flesh. Not only that, but you need private time, quiet time. David, he'd get in the fields. I could understand why he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." Sitting there quiet and looking out. I remember one time I went to the Grand Canyon. And I sat and I looked out. And there was such an awe that came into my heart. And I thought, look what our great God had made. How marvelous. Sometimes I sit at night and I go outside and I just look up at the stars. And I look at all the stars. And I think about the handiwork of God. And my heart is just moved. You've got to have a personal worship. You've got to have a private worship. And can I say this? If you don't have those two things, you're not going to have much worship when you come here. Number three. Look, if you would, in 2 Samuel. One more time, keep your finger in Psalms. Look, if you would, in 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter number 6. Remember when David sent to bring the ark back into Jerusalem after it had been taken? Notice what the Bible says in chapter 6, in verse number 13. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David, what? Danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Notice if you would in verse number 20. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovered himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore I will play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor." Listen, are you listening to me? When's the last time you worship God publicly? The flesh will say, "Oh, don't say that. Don't stand up and praise the Lord. Don't give him a shout. Don't say hallelujah. Don't say glory. Don't say, I just got a testimony I want to share with the Lord." You say, "Well, sometimes someone says something to me about it." I heard somebody say one time, they sung a song and some had made a fun or some kids or something. I said, "Don't ever let that bother you. Listen to me." David, when he saw the ark coming, he began to dance before the ark and sing unto God. And Michal, his wife, Saul's daughter, said, "Boy, you look like something out there. The king. How embarrassing you were." The old flesh and old devil say, "Oh, don't you stand. Don't you stand and praise the Lord. What will people think of you?" Now, listen. I've been in places where I've seen it done for show. And talk about putting a damper on the spirit. But I tell you what, it's wonderful when you see people that's got a heart and they just want to stand up and say, "I just want to praise the Lord. I've got something I want to say about his great blessings upon my life." We ought to have public worship. When we sing, somebody said, I can't sing very well. But boy, when we lift up our voices together, we ought to lift this roof up. And we ought to sing out praises to God. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's something to sing about. Amen? I mean, think about that. When we listen to these songs and we sing, and look at those words over there. As a matter of fact, from Exodus 12, it's where that song came from. It's wonderful. But we got to have public worship. Now, I'm not talking about flesh. I'm not talking about emotions and feeling. I've seen some places and they'll dance and they'll jump around and they'll carry on. And you can tell it's nothing but flesh. It's got to be spirit and truth. I think it ought to be done in decent order. I think God wants things done. And I think he wants it done when it's real. Amen? But David was not ashamed to worship God publicly. Amen? Not only that, but look if you would in Psalms 27. Psalms 27. Notice if you would in verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength, is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. And in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises in the Lord in times of danger. We need to learn to worship God. I don't think I ever remember a time when I felt such danger to America as I do right now at this present time. But it's not a time to whine to God. It's not a time to point fingers. It's a time to worship God. It's a time to praise God. Not only that, but notice this as well in Psalms 43. Notice if you would, in verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, Doris sings that song about God of the valley and mountain. It's easy to praise God when we're up on the mountain and everything's going well. But down in the valley, that's when we need to learn to praise God, when life is going rough, when things aren't going as well as they are. We still need to learn to worship God. David, what made him a man after God's own heart is he could worship God not only on the mountain, but he could worship him in the valley. When times of danger, hard times, he worshiped God. Not only that, but look if you would in Psalms 122. Stay with me quickly. Psalms 122. Notice if you would in verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go where? Into the house of the Lord. He worshiped God in the house of God. I hope you came this morning to worship the Lord. Listen. You can come and you can go socialize somewhere else. The house of God is to come to worship him, to praise him for what he's done and who he is. And so David learned to worship. He had gladness when he was able to come to the house of God. Oh, it's Sunday. I guess we better go to church. They'll be asking why I'm not there. That's not what God wants. God wants you to come with heart ready to worship him. And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not only that, but notice in Psalm 55, turn quickly, Psalms 55. Notice if you would, what he found in the house of the Lord. He said in verse 14, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the what? In what? You know why it's sweet to come to worship God in the house of God? Because you get a fellowship with other believers. That's what the church is all about. It's called out believers coming together to worship God together. It ought to be a time when you come and you got odd against each other. It ought to be a time when you come and there's divisions among us. It ought to be a time when we just love each other. And Bible says, you can tell they're my disciples, they love one another because we come together to worship him. Therefore, our hearts are ready to lift up what he's been. He's been so good to us. I love it. I love it when they sing songs that reminds us that we need to thank the Lord because he's been so good to us. Amen. And I mean, every time someone sings a song like that, I got to stop. And whatever's on my mind, I got to forget about it and just stop and say, boy, God has been good to me. Amen. I've got so much to be thankful for. Amen. Not only that, but knows that well in chapter 27. Real quickly, I told you I'm going to turn you over just a couple of places before I close. But in 27, he not only worshiped in the house of God in gladness, and in fellowship with other believers. But notice in verse 4. The Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the what? And to inquire in the temple. When you come together to worship God, it's like Brother Eric has been painting pictures of Jesus. I don't know about you, but when he sat this morning teaching about the Lamb of God, my mind paints a picture. I see the Lamb of God. I see him hung upon the cross of Calvary. And I see the beauty of the Lord. It's like the tabernacle that Moses built. On the outside was old gray dove skin, a badger skin. And look upon it, there was no beauty. As Isaiah wrote, there'd be no beauty to look upon him. But boy, when you went inside and you saw the silver and gold and all the precious linen and the beauty inside, until you get saved, you'll never see the beauty of the Lord. But once you've been saved, you see Jesus like you've never seen him before. And there is such beauty. Why do we come to church together? We come to church together to worship God and to be able to see the beauty and to inquire. And boy, I tell you, when songs, that song that Amanda just sung, I don't know about you, but when I was sitting there listening to it, my heart was just stirred with the words of that song. It's so beautiful. The words, just thinking about it is still the blood. Thank God for that precious blood. Not only that, but also look if you would in Psalms 84, real quickly. Psalms 84, verse number 4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they shall still be praising thee. In other words, when we come into the house of God, it is a place that we come because we're satisfied with who Jesus is and what he is. You know what? You know the person I'm most disappointed with in all the world? But you know something? I'm completely satisfied with him. There's not a thing about his blood I'm not satisfied with. There's not a thing about his book that I'm not satisfied with. Amen? And there's not a thing about anything that he's done for me and what he's got prepared for me. I am completely satisfied with Jesus. Not one word can I say ill against Jesus. He paid it all. Amen? Not only that, but notice as well in Psalms 84 while you're there. Notice verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of the wicked. You get fulfillment in coming to the house of God. There's something about coming here. I don't know about you, but when I'm not here, there's something missing. Notice two more verses, and I'm going to close. Look, if you would, in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Here David had been offered some sacrifice from another person to offer unto the Lord. And notice what he says in verse number 23. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. And lo, I will give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offerings, I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. In other words, David said, when I come to worship God, I'm going to worship God through my own personal sacrifices. I've heard some people say, all you churches want to do is bum money. I've never bummed money in my life. But I believe this. Tithes and offerings to a child of God is to recognize that everything that you've got has been given to you by the Lord of heaven and earth. He has allowed you to have that. What he has asked of us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, is come together on the first day of the week and bring as God has prospered you and give a portion of what God has prospered you. You say, well, I can't give like this guy over here. He didn't ask you to give like this guy over here. He asked that you give as God has prospered you. That's why he's made a percentage that we give. That's why we give a portion of what he has blessed. And what we do in doing that is we recognize that he is the possessor of heaven and earth. Everything we have because of him. And so therefore, when we come together, he said, I love a cheerful giver. Somebody said, well, what if I'm not cheerful about giving? I just suggest you keep it right in your pocket. Amen? Because what happens is this. David said, Ornan says, listen, David, I'm going to give you the threshing floor. I'm going to give you the oxen. He said, no, you're not either. He said, you're going to make me price. I'm going to buy it because I'm not going to offer God nothing that don't cost me something. And if we're going to worship God, sacrifice is something that ought to cost you something. Somebody said, well, preacher, I just can't make my bills and give tithes and offerings to the church. May I suggest you got too many bills? You're living above your raising. So what you have to do is this. You have to understand. And what I found out in life is this. My 90% or so that's left over, God has made it, spread it out so wide. And I've got more right now than I deserve. And I could lose a lot of what I got and still not miss it. Amen? And that doesn't mean I want my wife to get put in the yard sale or nothing like that. But I say, all right. She said one time, I used to have a lot of knives. She said, if Billy dies, come over. We're having yard sale with knives. They're going out quick. But most of them been sold by now, so they're gone. She can't sell them no more, amen? But anyway, getting on beyond that, let me say this. When we come together, that's part of worship. We give unto the Lord, and we bless him. We all use it wisely, not foolishly. Not buy me jet planes, buy me mansions. That's not what it's being used for, wisely. Last but not least, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23, we're going to close there. You know, David, he knew the power of prayer, the power of the word of God, and he also knew the power of learning to wait upon the Lord. And he was able to worship God. But notice if you would, chapter 23. In verse number 1. Now these be the last words of David. David was even able to worship God when he was dying. It says, David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The Lord of the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. David said, I just want to praise God. I want to worship God. These are my last words. I want to thank him for my salvation. Now listen to me. How many have ever been in the presence of someone that died? Let me tell you a little bit about good, bad, or ugly. People have differing opinions. But in today's time, we have made it where when people get ready to die, for some period of time before they die, they are usually medicated to the point where they don't suffer any pain. But with that does not come clarity of mind many times. Those of you who used to see people die used to see a lot of things happen on deathbeds. You saw some people leave praising God and worshiping. I've seen people fearful, crying and screaming. Had one girl one time tear my shirt off my back and claw my back, begging for someone to pull her feet out of the fire while she couldn't hear a word I was saying. I've never forgotten that, but I'm going to tell you something. It's wonderful to be able to die and be able to worship God while you're dying. But if you don't learn to worship God before you die, you'll not be worshiping God when you die. And you've got to have all those private and personal worships and worship in the house of God. And not be so weak that every time some little something happens, you quit. You've got to be able to worship in hard times, dangerous times, and still learn to worship God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have the Lord. I would not be wanting to walk in this perilous times without the Lord by my side. You say, preacher, what's going to happen? Well, ultimately, Jesus is coming back to get me. What if I die before he? I'll be coming back with him when he comes and gets whoever's left. But thank God I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry what tomorrow brings. I don't have to worry what the next 4 years bring. I don't have to worry what goes on. Because I know in whom I trust, amen? And so today, are you able to worship God? That's what I think made David's heart so much like God's heart, because he was full of worship unto God, amen?
Page 410 in the red.